Well, I'd like to give a very warm welcome to everyone here to our service this morning and others that are tuning in. What a privilege it is to be together, to be able to worship God, to hear from His Word. We're looking forward later on to carry on our series in Ephesians, where Mark's preaching on "This is what I'm praying for you." So we've got Mark, who's from this side of the world, preaching this morning. And then this evening we have a preacher from the other side of the world. We've got Reuben Saywell preaching here in the evening at 6:30. He and his wife work in the Philippines. They're involved with church planting back here. And this evening Reuben's going to be preaching on the Great Commission, and he's going to be giving a 10-minute update of how things are going out there. So glad to have you here this morning, and you're very welcome to our meeting as well this evening. Well, we're going to begin our service with a song of praise. It's "O Lord, My God." We get an opportunity to think and reflect on God's greatness, to sing about His greatness, and hopefully to sing from our souls or our hearts about God's greatness. So it's "O Lord, My God, when I in awesome wonder." Shall we stand to sing our first song?
I'm not afraid to die.
Well, shall we pray? Oh Lord our God, we do want to praise you for your greatness this morning. We've been reminded in what we've sung of your tremendous greatness, and we praise you for your great creation. We praise you for your great holiness. We praise you for your great wisdom. We praise you for your great majesty. We praise you for your great goodness. We praise you for your great kindness. We praise you for your great love. We praise you for your great grace. And we pray that you'd help us to give you worship in our time together this morning. We pray for your blessing upon us, because we need your blessing as we come together. And this we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, our Bible reading this morning is from Ephesians chapter 1. We're on page 976. So we started to get into, or more definitely into, this letter last week. And if you do miss out on any of the messages here and you're keen to hear them, you can go onto our website and you can watch a video recording of a service or services that you've missed, or an audio recording which you can download and listen to as you travel or walk or do your ironing or whatever. So there are opportunities to catch up. I needed to do that because I was elsewhere last Sunday morning, so I was glad to be able to watch the video of what you were treated to last Sunday morning here. Our reading then this morning is the whole of Ephesians 1. So firstly, we shall read through the great verses which you looked at last week. Let's begin in verse 1 of Ephesians 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. And then we move on to the verses which Mark will be speaking from this week as we carry on from verse 15. For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love towards all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Well, we look forward to hearing more from those verses later on. Well, our second song recognises the majesty of God. Indeed, the second and the third song later on take us upwards in our thoughts, really in line with how those verses ended. So we sing, King of Kings, Majesty, God of Heaven, living in me. And then afterwards, the children, welcome to come forward, and Josh will be giving the children's talk.
Good morning. Come and grab a seat. Right. So, this morning I would like to start by reading a tiny little bit of the Bible, which is always a good place to start. So hopefully it's going to appear up here. Lovely. And we're beginning at the beginning, which is also a good place to start. Would anybody like to read this out for me?
Yeah, go on.
Fantastic. Thank you very much for reading that for us. In the beginning, the very beginning of the world, God made the heavens and the earth, and he made the stars. So everything out there in space he made. Let's think about that. We'll hold that in our minds for a second. Now, I've got some other things to look at. So, I've got a ball. What happens if I let go? You point it down. It's going to go down. Why does it go down? Who knows why it goes down? Yeah? Gravity. Very, very good. Gravity. Okay. So, gravity, when God made... Well, let's go to the next one. I think we've got some more words. This isn't the Bible. This is from NASA, so also very reliable, but not quite as reliable as the Bible. This says, gravity is what holds the planets in orbit around the sun. We're whizzing around the sun, and gravity is the force that keeps us whizzing around the sun and what keeps the moon in orbit around the earth. So gravity isn't just little things, it's big, big things. So that means that when God made everything, the stars, the planets, he also made gravity. Okay. So, who likes playing with football? Or maybe a different sort of ball. Maybe you don't like football, but maybe you like throwing a tennis ball around. Maybe you've got... it's not strictly a ball, but maybe you've got a Nerf gun and it fires little foam pellets, yeah? And you throw them, and then they fall. And it's fun. Maybe we'll go to the next little picture. That's the ball, I think. It's fun because of gravity. If we didn't have gravity in here and I kicked this ball, it would just go, ooh. It'd be like a balloon, you know, a helium balloon. It'd just go, ooh. It'd go up, 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 and it'd disappear, and then the game would be over. Football and ball games would be rubbish without gravity. God has made gravity, which means that we can enjoy them. Now, if you don't like ball games, maybe I like football a little bit, but what I like more is I like going on the skateboard. Yeah? Have any of you guys got a skateboard? You have? Brilliant. Yeah, well, it's only 3 months till Christmas, so you can always have a thing. But I bet some of you have got bikes. I bet some of you have got bikes or you've got scooters. I bet you've got something with wheels on it. And do you like going on them? Do you ever go up to the skate park and you can go up the ramp, and then when you get up it, gravity brings you back down. Or maybe the pump track. The pump track's new, isn't it? And you go around it, and there's all the little bumps, and you go, woo, woo. I went on it last week. Loved it. Had a lot of fun. And in fact, I was going to do a live demonstration on the skateboard, but I decided not to. We've got a video. So you look, you go up, 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 up. There's not much gravity happening right there, but then gravity brings you down. That was really good fun. I really, really enjoyed doing that. That's about 3 years ago. I don't know if I could do that now. Getting a bit old now. So I think gravity is brilliant. And here's what I'd like you guys to have a think about or maybe remember today. Sometimes we're thankful for things we can see. So maybe when you have your lunch, you say, thank you, God, for the food. And that's great. But I think there's all sorts of other things we can thank him for. And one is gravity. So I think it'd be brilliant if when you went away, next time you went and played a game, a ball game, or next time you're on your scooter, or hopefully it's Christmas time, a skateboard, and you can feel gravity going up and down. You're having fun jumping around. Or a trampoline. I should have put a trampoline up there. A trampoline is a really fun way that we enjoy gravity, that we enjoy the world that God has made. He made this world in a way that we can enjoy it. So God made gravity. Gravity is fun, unless you fall over, of course. But I think it'd be good. When we go away and we're playing ball games, playing on our scooters and stuff, we can thank God for that. In your head, you can say, thank you, God, for this. Thank you for making the world like this with gravity that we can have so much fun in it. Okay. Thank you for listening, guys.
Well, a children's talk that makes us think and makes us thank as well. We have different events on here for ladies and for men, and we've got Bible studies starting this week for men, so just remind you of that. But there's another thing coming up for men soon, and James is going to tell us about it. So over to you, James. Thank you.
We've got the men's event, the evening event with Domino Pizza coming up. We have, which have always been really popular. It's always been a really nice night, so it's been really encouraging. We always have really good talks with great friends, and then we have a talk from someone. And it's just been a really good evening every time. And every year it's just got better and better. And this year we have Nick Ashton from All Saints coming to speak on sharing the gospel in everyday conversations, which I'm really looking forward to. I don't know about you guys, but sometimes I get a little bit, find it difficult to talk about things like that with people. So I'm hoping this will be a really encouraging evening for us all. I shouldn't really be standing up here telling you about this, because men are really good at booking up for things and starting up, and we all know it's coming, so you know, my job's really done, isn't it? But it's Tuesday the 8th of October, and it's from 7 till 9. We have pizzas at half time from Domino's, and then we have an array of nice puddings put on, which are really lovely. Just book with me if you can by the end of September, September 29th, so I have plenty of time to get the numbers in and work out how many pizzas we're going to need. Or you can email me or text me, that's fine. I will come round as well at the end of the day and the session and this morning service and badge you all a little bit and get your names down like I did last year. But I do encourage us all to come because it is a brilliant, brilliant evening. I've enjoyed every single one so far, and it's a really good time to be together and spend time together as men. And then we have a great talk. And I think this year is going to be a really good talk for just men. We really take a good look from. So please, book up as soon as you can. Thank you very much.
Thank you, James. And I have to say, that's been one of the highlights of the year in recent years, that men's pizza and teaching evening. So, yeah, make it if you can, chaps. And the list is already building up, I see, James, so that's good. Well, shall we join together again in prayer? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you in our time of prayer, and we're grateful that we can use that term, Father, and that you encourage us to pray in that way, to feel that sense of relationship to you because of your love to us and what you've done through Jesus. And as we come to you, we do pray that you'd help us to be sincere and genuine. We know that we can pretend to pray, we can have our posture, close our eyes, but we can be all over the place in our thoughts so easily. But we do want to be genuine in our prayers, and so we do pray that you would help us now. We thank you, Lord, that it is your delight as our Heavenly Father to give good gifts, and especially the Holy Spirit, to your children. And we need his help. Do grant us the Holy Spirit, that he might open our eyes to the things we need to understand better, that he might point us to Jesus, that he might help us to be fruitful in the fruits of the Spirit, that we might be equipped for the areas of service that we have responsibility for, that we might be strengthened to endure in the difficulties we experience in life and in the Christian life. And that we might see his work in the lives of many others, drawing them to Jesus and seeing your kingdom grow. We pray, Lord, about prayer. As we hear more about it this morning, we know that our prayer lives are high maintenance, that we need lots of inputs and nudges and reminders and teaching, because it's an area that we are often so slow and sluggish in. And we pray that you'd help us in our prayer lives individually, both in the perhaps the set time we have in the day to pray and in the more incidental times. Help us, Lord, to seize the wonderful privilege and to be frequently in prayer and in prayer over good things and right things, helped by your Holy Spirit. Lord, we thank you for the many ministries which are occur in this place and through the work of this church. Give thanks for what's happened already this morning and for the extra breakfast time that they had in Thrive and the extra youngsters that seem to be there. Thank you for so many interested in Rooted Too, and we pray for the many areas of life of this church, done for young and for old, some of them in the midweek. And we particularly pray that you would provide what's necessary. We know that those who commit themselves to that often have strains and stresses in their own lives, many other responsibilities. There's a need for more helpers. There's a need for future helpers and future leaders. We do pray, Lord, that you'll provide. We pray that you would stir up those who you have given abilities in the areas where they could serve. And that they might be matched to the areas of need as the areas of need continue to show. Do help us to keep going all that you want us to, and to do so with a spirit of love and desire for your honour and for the blessing of others. Lord, we think at this time of year of those heading back or off to college, to university, some returning, others going for the first time. We pray, Lord, you'd help them in that change. And we pray, Lord, that they might be kept and that they might flourish and grow in their knowledge of you, in their service. You bless the natural experience of being away, of studying. Bless it to them spiritually as well. And for those who remain here and who embark on new spheres of activity in life, bless them too in that adjustment, we pray. Lord, we pray for those who are speaking elsewhere today, but are based here. We think of Keith at Five Ash Down. Think of Martin in Brighton. And we pray too for the prison ministries which are done and which Martin and Stephen St. John are involved with. Exploring Christianity and the opportunities to speak in prisons on Sundays. Pray that the gospel may go with life and power and help. And there might be people converted. And there might be disciples who found themselves in that situation who are encouraged and made strong. We pray for churches around us here. We thank you for other gospel churches, and we pray for the churches in Crowborough. We particularly pray for the chapel at Jarvis Brook as it gets to the point of becoming more established as a church and has a special service in about 10 days' time. Lord, we do pray that that will be a blessed time, and that you would help them as they have this step as a church. We pray for Carl, the pastor there, for those who join together. Pray, Lord, that you would bless them in their fellowship, and that through them a light may shine in the area, particularly in the area of Jarvis Brook, we pray. We remember as well St. Richard's, who we work with in the Connect work. Pray for blessing on that work to the young people, the Alderbrook Estate, and the ministry of the church in general. And we're thankful too for the work of All Saints, gospel ministry there, different people involved with leadership, the fellowship we have with those who go there. We pray, Lord, that you would keep and bless and help and use that church greatly in our town as well. We do pray for the gospel to shine forward from many churches in this town. We thank you for the possibility of meeting to worship. And as we pray, you'll bless other churches as they meet today. So, Lord, do help us and be with us. We thank you to have your word open, to have the privilege of thinking it through it together. We pray we have an appetite. We thank you that many here do have an appetite for your word. And as we are served the food of your word, and as Mark brings it to us soon, we pray for your blessing and for the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. So we pray all these things, coming through the name of our Saviour, the gracious living Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, and pray in his name. Amen. Well, we're going to sing together our third song, which is the song, "There is a higher throne than all this world has known." And then afterwards, Mark is going to come up and preach to us.
good morning once again. It's good to see you all here. Well, it is my birthday soon, and the question came through, what would you like for your birthday? And I had to say, I haven't even thought about it yet. I'll try and think about it soon. Of course, what I should have said is, I'd like a skateboard, but I didn't know that at the time. I don't know what you're like with birthdays. Maybe some of you have sort of birthday list written months in advance and you're already excited about it. It's not even till after Christmas, but you've got your list written. Maybe you're that sort of person. But much more importantly than thinking about what you want for your birthday, what do you want from God? What do you want from God? He's a generous Father who says to us, ask and you shall receive. So what do you want from God? Well, maybe some of you would be a bit like me with my birthday list and sort of say, I don't know, I haven't really thought much about it, to be honest. Or maybe some of you have got sort of a long list of things that you'd love from God. Well, if so, what are some of the key things on your list? What are sort of the top priority things on your list of all the things that you'd love to ask God for? Sometimes our prayers can be a bit like shopping lists, can't they? Lots of things that will make our life a little bit easier, a little bit more fun. Or maybe we're praying for other people, but the things we're praying are also the things that will make their life easier or more fun. And God in his goodness is so kind to us, isn't he? And he blesses us with so many good things. But in this second half of this chapter 1, in this letter to the Ephesians, the Christians and churches there at Ephesus, that the Apostle Paul writes, we get a glimpse of Paul's prayer life. He tells us what he's been praying. Now, you may remember, if you were here last week, that Paul is chained up in a prison cell. And he hasn't done any criminal acts as such. He's just been teaching people about Jesus. And they didn't like it, so they've thrown him in prison. Well, what does he pray for as he's in prison? Just before that, Quiddy, what would you pray for if you were in his shoes, if he had any? What would you pray for? Maybe that the prison guards would be a little bit less rough with you next time they moved you around. Maybe that you'd get a couple more presents and letters from people. Maybe the only thing that you'd pray for is, God, please get me out of here. What are the things Paul's praying? Well, we'll get into it in just a moment, but just quickly, two things that really strike me just as I read his prayer. One of them is just how other-centered it is. Just his prayers are about God and about others. Just really other-centered. And the second thing that's really struck me about this prayer is just how spiritual it is. It is such a spiritual prayer that Paul prays. Because he knows that the things the Ephesians need more than anything else are spiritual things. And actually, it's the same with us this morning. We live in a very different time. But actually, our deepest need for all of us here this morning, our deepest needs are spiritual things, spiritual needs. So, as we look at the second part of chapter 1, then, let's dive into Paul's prayer. What is he praying about? Well, firstly, he says, I'm thanking God for you. This is verses 15 to 16. I'm thanking God for you. If you have your Bibles open, it will make a bit more sense as to some of what I'm saying. Verses 15 and 16. This is what Paul says. For this reason, because I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and your love towards all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. Paul is just so, so thankful for the Christians at Ephesus. He just keeps thanking God for them, and he's got no plans to stop anytime soon. And he explains why. He says, because I've heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love towards all the saints. You know, these are two surefire ways to know that God is at work. That there is faith in Jesus Christ, and that there is love between the church family. Those two things are a sign of true Christian faith, of God at work. When God works in people, that's what happens. They place their faith in Jesus, and they love the church family. When God is at work, there are visible signs. There's evidence that you can see. It changes people. And Paul sees this evidence in their lives, and he thanks God. And he thanks God again, and again, and again. And he keeps thanking God, because his heart is so full of thankfulness. It's just overflowing with thankfulness, and he just is so thankful he can't stop. And Paul knows that all the blessings that we were looking at last week, do you remember in that gigantic verse from 3 to 14, 202 words in the Greek, that is a sentence and a half, even more than that actually normally, but anyway. But all the blessings in that sentence, Paul knows that they are the Ephesians, because they are showing the signs of God being at work in them. And Paul knows that they are chosen. Paul knows they are blameless in God's eyes. Paul knows they've been redeemed. They've been adopted. Paul knows that they are central to God's plan for the universe. And he can't stop thanking God for that. Many of us have known the excitement, haven't we, of God working in our life. The impact of grace in our life. It's a wonderful thing. But if you have, how thankful are you when you see God working in others? When you see evidence of God's work, when you see faith in Jesus in their life, and you see their love for others start to grow, how thankful for you are that? Does it stir up something inside you? I know it does for some of you, because I've chatted to quite a few of you in recent days, and a good number of you are just filled with thankfulness at what God is doing in different people around us. It's exciting. You know, I'm so, so thankful for this church. Why? Well, a lot of it's because your family and friends, and that is a wonderful blessing. But more than that, it's because there's so much evidence here of God being at work. I see faith in Jesus Christ, and I see a real and genuine love for each other. And I say, yeah, God is at work in this place. God is doing his work. Does that mean we're a perfect church? Far from it. Does that mean that we're content with how things are and that we sort of don't see any need to grow? Absolutely not. You don't need to spend long with us to realise that we are a far from perfect church. But you know, the Ephesian church wasn't perfect either. We had so many things that Paul needed to teach them about how to follow Jesus, about how to live in the right way. And yet, Paul can't stop thanking God for what he is doing in their life, because he sees evidence of God at work. And he knows that they are his brothers and sisters in Christ. And isn't this a helpful perspective for us? It can be so easy for us, can't it, to focus on the imperfections of others. But Paul encourages us to have a constant attitude of thankfulness to God for them. A sort of status quo being this attitude of praise God for what he's doing in their life. Paul says, for this reason, because I've heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love towards all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. But then in verses 17 to 18, he tells them specifically what he's been praying for them. So he's given thanks to God for them, but this is now what he prays specifically for them. Firstly, I'm praying that you'll know God better. I'm praying that you'll know God better. This is verses 17 and 18. Paul says, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened. The thing right at the top of his priority list that he's going to pray is that the Ephesians will know God better. I was watching a few minutes of University Challenge while I was on holiday recently. I have to confess, I don't watch it much because I'm not really clever enough to get the answers. But there was a simple question about Jesus' life. And it genuinely was a simple question about Jesus' life. And you know, the four people on the team of these brilliantly educated people didn't know the answer. And it's sad, isn't it, that people today, I think as a whole, have a much smaller understanding of who God is and what the Bible teaches. People just don't have any understanding nowadays, a lot of them, sadly. And maybe you're here this morning and you're thinking, you know what, I don't actually have much knowledge of God. I'd love to know more, but I just don't feel like I know God very much at all. Well, this is a lovely prayer for you, that you'll know God better. We're praying this for you. Pray it for yourself as well, that you'll know God better. There's nothing more valuable in the world. But you know, Paul's writing to the Ephesians. They'd been taught lots by Apollos, by Paul. They'd heard quite a lot of teaching about God. They knew God. But Paul's saying, what you need to know, more than anything else in the world, or what you need to have, is you need to know God even more. You need to know God more than you do. That's the most important thing. And you know, the Apostle Paul, he's the one who writes this. He's the one who's teaching us all about God. He himself says, I want to know God more. I want to know Christ more. This is what all of us need. However long we've been to church, maybe we've been here decades, maybe there's loads that we could tell people about the Bible, but what we need more than anything else is to know God even more than we do. This is what Paul's praying for them, that you will know God better. God is so powerful, so majestic, so beyond our understanding that we can't sort of get hold of him or understand him if we just use our own mind. We need him to reveal himself to us. That's why Paul asked for the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Without that, we'd go hopelessly wrong. You see it in all these other gods where they've tried to create what they think God's like, and it's nothing like God. We need God to show us what he's like. In fact, Paul describes it like this. He says, he asked for the eyes of our hearts to be enlightened. Our eyes, fairly obviously, help us see what's going on, don't they? If I didn't have eyes this morning, I might find myself accidentally preaching to the wall. Wouldn't be ideal. On Friday night, we had action, and we played one of the games that is one of their all-time favourites, Sardines. And we played it in the dark, because it's a little bit more fun like that. But for a lot of the time, all they could see was sort of vague shapes and, you know, outlines of things. And that's about it, because it wasn't pitch black, but it was dark. And then at the end of the game, when everyone's found the person who was hiding, you sort of turn on the light, and suddenly you have this clarity. Light bursts into your eyes, and you can see everything clearly. Our eyes have been enlightened, so to speak. And Paul prays that the eyes of their hearts, he's using this picture language here, but the eyes of their hearts would be enlightened so that they can see and understand who God is, what he's like, and what he's doing. We'll be able to see what's going on. Of course, we can see the world around us. But when the eyes of our hearts are open, we can also see into the spiritual realm. We can see what God is doing. We can see his plan. We can see what he's like. We can see more of him. And just like a husband gets to know the wife, or a wife gets to know the husband, so as we spend more time with God, as we spend more time looking at him, seeing him, well, so we get to know more of him. So we grow in our knowledge of him. J.I. Packer, some of you will have heard of him, he wrote a book called Knowing God. Knowing God. This is what he says. We are cruel to ourselves if we try to live in this world without knowing about the God whose world it is and who runs it. The world becomes a strange, mad, painful place, and life in it a disappointing and unpleasant business for those who do not know God. Disregard the study of God, and you sentence yourself to stumble and blunder through life, blindfold as it were, with no sense of direction and no understanding of what surrounds you. This way, you can waste your life and lose your soul. Praise God that he reveals himself to us. He helps us to see who is in charge of the universe. Helps us to see what he's like, what he's doing. And as we go through this book of Ephesians, this letter of Ephesians, my prayer is that we will see God more. And that he will reveal himself to us more and more through this letter. But let's pray for each other. Maybe as we're thinking about Ephesians, as we go through this week, let's pray for each other that we'll know God more. When you're on your way to work, when you're on that walk, when you're doing the washing up, when you're on your skateboard, let's pray that we would know God better. Well, what else does Paul say? Paul says, I'm praying that you'll know the hope we have. I'm praying that you'll know the hope we have. It's verse 18. Well, when do we need hope in life? It's when there's a problem, isn't it? Or when we're in trouble. That's when we need hope. We need hope that the problem's going to be solved. Or hope that we're going to make it out of trouble and be okay. That we're going to make it to the end. There's some amazing survival stories of people who have survived far longer than they seemingly should have. And people said, how on earth did you survive so long? And they said it was hope. The hope that I'll get rescued. It keeps them going. And in life, we need hope. Because we're in such a broken world. The Bible talks about the world being cursed. Cursed with sin, and it's filled with chaos and uncertainty. We need hope. We need hope that one day everything is going to be fixed. We need hope that one day we're going to have a new sort of earth that's going to be, where everything's going to be right again. We need hope that one day our souls will be truly satisfied forever. Hope that life isn't just a meaningless existence, but that there is purpose to it. And that there is meaning in life. We need hope in life. And as Christians, Paul says we have that hope. Remember, when the Bible talks about hope, it doesn't mean sort of our hope it happens. It's a certain hope. It's a sure thing. So Paul's saying we have this certainty. Paul wants the Ephesians to be filled with this hope. This is what he says, verse 18. That you may know what is the hope to which he has called you. What are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. Why is it suddenly talk about inheritance there? It's one of the things I was thinking about as I was planning this and working out what Paul's praying for. He's talking about the hope and then he talks about the glorious inheritance. And when it says the inheritance there, whose inheritance is it talking about? Is this our inheritance that we receive from God? Or is this God's inheritance that he receives, which remarkably is us, if we are believers, if we are Christians? Well, people have different views. In some ways, it doesn't actually make a huge difference. Both are backed up by the Bible. Both are taught elsewhere. I think this is actually talking about God's inheritance here. God's glorious inheritance. But it's talking about us. It doesn't sound right, does it? It sounds almost blasphemous. God's glorious inheritance is us. If you're anything like me, you feel anything but glorious. God himself tells us that we are his treasure. We are, as it were, his present that he has bought, that he's going to give himself at the end of time. And why does Paul link that with our hope? Why does he talk about our hope and then talk about God's inheritance? Because if God wants us as his inheritance, he will get us as his inheritance. Nothing can stop God doing what he wants to do. See, as we saw last week, he's adopted us as his children. We are part of his family. He's paid for us with the blood of his only begotten son, Jesus. I don't know if you enjoy watching survival shows. Obviously, there are horrendous things like hunger and the cold to deal with. But quite often, the things that breaks the strongest people, or some of the strongest people, is that they're missing their children. Quite often, you have these people who have done incredibly well for weeks, and then suddenly they can't do any more because they're just missing their children too much. And they're just like, I have to go. I have to get out of here. I have to leave this show. You know, as Christians, we are God's children, and he longs to be with us. It's as if he can't wait to have us, his inheritance, with him. And so he will bring us into his eternal home. He will bring us into his kingdom. So doesn't that give us hope? If that's what God wants, nothing can stop him. He will do it because he wants us to be with him so much. And that is glorious news for us. That gives us hope. Our future is so secure in him. But maybe you think, well, can God really do that? Or maybe you think, well, I just feel a weak Christian. I'm not sure I can make it to the end. What else does Paul pray? Well, finally, Paul says, I'm praying that you will know his power. I'm praying that you will know God's power. And this is verses 19 to 23. 19 to 23. There's a lot of powerful things in the world, aren't there? Have a little think about what sort of powerful things you can think of. I don't know what comes to your mind, but maybe something like waves comes to my mind. Huge waves. Obviously something like bombs. Some of the huge explosions that they've done, it, especially in tests in like the desert. Or like those huge cranes or machinery that just pick up these incredibly heavy things as if they're nothing. And I just think, wow, the power. Some of these things, we can't really get our heads around just how powerful these things are. And yet, all these things we can measure, can't we? It might be a big scale, but all these things we can fit on a scale. We can measure how powerful they are. But you know, God's power is beyond that. This is what Paul says. And what is the immeasurable greatness of his power? There's no scientific instrument in the world that can work out how powerful God is. There's no scale that's big enough that can kind of keep him contained within it. You know, we simply can't imagine how powerful God is. And yet, he has shown us. He has demonstrated it. How has he done that? Well, he's raised Jesus from the lowest of the low. What's that? A slave? No. From death. Maybe we hear it so many times that we barely blink when we hear that. We're so used to, oh yeah, you know, Jesus raised from the dead. But my feeling is that if we went out to the graveyard or another place and someone was raised from the dead, it would take us weeks to recover. The power that is needed to bring Jesus back to life is beyond what we can imagine. But God raises him up beyond that. Where does he raise him up to? He seats him, I'm reading now, he seats him at the right hand in the heavenly places, above all rule and authority. Oh, no, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet. That is the power that God has. He raised Jesus from the tomb to far above anything else that we can possibly imagine, including the angels. Far above. And now all things are under his feet. But you know what gets really exciting? Is that that same power, God says, that same power that God did for Jesus, that's the same power that he's going to use and does use towards us. In other words, he can use that same power in us and through us and to help us. You know, that's a massive encouragement to me as I preach. You know, as I think about preaching again, and sometimes you think, you know, how can you do this, especially with passages like this? And then I think, oh, but I've got the power of God with me. It's a huge blessing if you're living the Christian life and you're struggling because obeying Jesus is difficult and you're finding it difficult. And then you remember, but you've got the whole power of God on your side to help you. One person said this: the question is not what can I handle, but what can God handle? That changes things, doesn't it? The question is not what can I handle, but what can God handle? And you know, the beautiful thing is that God is using all of that power for the church, for his church, not just here, the worldwide church. Paul says in verse 22, he says, actually, God has given Jesus to the church. He's given him to be the head of the church. And so we as the church are described as the body of Jesus. Isn't that amazing? We're described as the body of Jesus. So do you think God cares about his church if we are the body of Jesus? Yes, absolutely. Do you think God's going to help his church? Yes, absolutely. Do you think God's going to keep his church safe until the final time? Do you think God is going to raise up his church to be with him at the last time, just like he did with Jesus? Yes. You know, the church may not look like much at times. Maybe you sometimes look at it in, you know, around the world, or you look at it here and you think, well, it doesn't look like much. This afternoon, God willing, I'm going to preach at Pembury Road Baptist Church. And it's a small church. It's smaller than this. You know, I don't sort of turn up at the building and go, wow, everyone must know this place. It's quite a small building. It's sort of hidden away. There's not loads and loads of people that are there. It's a bit smaller than here. But you know what? It's filled with believers who love Jesus. And they've got the power of God behind them in everything they're doing. Protecting them, keeping them, helping them. Isn't that amazing? You know, God's power is for us as individuals and as a church. And he's using the power that he raised Jesus from the tomb to the highest of heights. He's using that power to build his church worldwide and to keep us protected in him for that day when he will raise us up to be with him. So I just want to encourage us to pray for each other. Keep praying for practical things, of course. It's really important to do that. It's lovely to be able to share messages of what's going on in your life, saying, please, can you pray for me, all those things. It's lovely to do that. I really want to encourage you to keep doing that. But I also want to encourage you to pray this. Pray that we would know God better. Pray that we would know the hope we have better. Pray that we would know his power better. And if you don't know Jesus for yourself, if you don't know God yourself, I pray that he will reveal himself to you and speak to you. Well, we're going to sing, and then after that we'll pray. All heaven declares the glory of the risen Lord. Who can compare with the beauty of the Lord? Let's stand and worship God together.
Thank you.
Let's pray. Lord God, I pray that you would reveal yourself to us. Lord, that as we go through the next few weeks, Lord, that you may reveal yourself more and more to us. And that we may be in awe of who you are. And that we may know that hope, and that it may really impact every day of our life as we have that hope. And Lord, that we may know that power that is there for us. Lord, we thank you that Jesus is on the throne and he has been given to the church. And Lord, I pray that we'd be excited about the future that we have with you through Jesus Christ. Amen.